Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja.
This is Cashflow Ninja. My name is MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me again in another fantastic episode of Cashflow Ninja and Spending Your Most Valuable Resource, Your Time with me. I've got a great guest, Bob Wells, an entrepreneur par excellence. He's an educator. He's a coach. He's involved in so many different things, investor, coaching other investors. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thanks, MC. It's my pleasure to be here. I was really excited to spend some time with you today.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed all of the time that we spent together and learned a lot from you. And just every single time that we spend some time together. Bob, for folks that are not familiar with you and what you do, can you please share a little bit about your background and journey with them?
Yeah, I can. I'll start way, way back. I was one of those kids that never did really well in high school. You know, I never went. I had kind of other things on my mind. When I was 19, I went into the Marine Corps, which was probably a good decision for me. But 8 years in the United States Marine Corps, left as a staff sergeant, went to Saudi Arabia for 5 years as a military advisor. And I came back here in 1995 and I went into the real estate business. And I was a real estate sales professional for a while, till around 2004, one of the top agents in my company at that time. And at that point, I had an opportunity to launch a brand new franchise. And I'd never done anything like that before, but kind of jumped into that with both feet. And that was the beginning of my my work with launch, relaunch, and acquisition of companies, which I was involved in for, the better part of 16 years. In kind of halfway through that, I became very interested and active in real estate investing. Actually, I should say I started in 2004. I guess I probably put it into a whole new gear after that. And since then, I've been actively involved in investing in apartment buildings, in commercial buildings, also in hospitality. And I'm a venture capitalist. I've launched a couple of companies, financed the launch of a couple of companies. And just overall excited about business, excited about leadership, and being a part of that has always jazzed me up.
Now, the franchise that you got involved with, the real estate franchise, that will give folks quite an insight into how things get off the ground, because Keller Williams is now a household name, right?
It is. In 2004, I was with the Balloon Company, and I had a great time there. I made a lot of money there, and I guess I was looking for something else. And my wife and I started to kind of open our minds to other opportunities. And we were at a training event, and we heard about this company called Keller Williams. It was kind of a Joe Stumpf training event. It was like third party. And it intrigued me, but I'd never heard of it before. And we started to get more and more interested in various aspects of that company. And we started to look for a franchise owner who would open a company so we could join it, which is a little bit backwards. But we met with a couple of people. I just wanted to become involved in the company. I didn't want to do it myself. Didn't want to be the guy who launches the company. I wasn't ready, willing, or able to do that. Wasn't my background. And I found a guy named Mike Campo, who I just liked. You know, I think who you're in business with matters a lot. Yeah. And after speaking with him for a while, I said, this is somebody that I could really learn from and that I could fill in some gaps for the talent that he needs and vice versa. So I launched a company in Allentown. We started with eight agents in 2004. And honestly, I was just trying to keep the job long enough for my mother-in-law to visit from England, so I didn't look bad if I got fired, you know. I was a little bit concerned. I'd never launched a company of that scale before, but within 14 months, I think we were at 130 agents. So we went from 8 to 130 in a period of time. But I think the most important thing about that journey, MC, was why I did it and what I sacrificed in order to do it. Long before I had learned about Keller Williams, I realized that for me, passive income was more important than active income. You know, I gave a far higher value to passive income. And when I looked at the opportunity to launch a company, I saw an opportunity to have ownership in that company, to work for equity. And a mentor of mine for some time, David Osborne, said something to me a while back. He said, you should only work for two things, knowledge or equity. And I felt I could learn from Mike. So the knowledge was there. And I knew that I could be an owner of the company if I performed at a high level. And I told him that. You know, I said, Mike, you know, I don't want a big salary. As a matter of fact, I'd rather have a very small salary, and I'd like to have an opportunity to get bonuses to make up the difference. And if I perform at a high level, I want to keep a part of the company, replace myself, and we'll do it again. You know, I picked the right guy because he looked at me and he said, okay. And we did. You know, I bought a small percentage of the company when we first started. Within that 18-month period, I earned another percentage of the company, and I replaced myself, and we did it again. And we did that 9 times. So I launched, relaunched, or acquired 9 companies over a period of time, each one having an ownership of below 15%. I like that number because at 15% ownership, you have a substantial stake in the success of the business, but people don't miss you when you're gone. And if that makes sense. And when I first took that role in the first company in the Allentown market is where we launched the first company, I stepped down from a $250,000 in income selling real estate, $250 a year, to $45,000 salary. And people say, well, why do you go from a $250 income to a $45 income? And the bottom line was, I believed that in the long run, owning a small piece of a lot of things would not only be a much bigger income for me, but it would set me free. You know, would allow me to do whatever I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it. So that was my kind of history in launching businesses and keeping percentages of those businesses, which is the basis for the revenue created to invest in other things.
We are living through unprecedented times, and many experts say that in the coming months and years, we're about to see some of the best real estate opportunities of our lifetime. Who's going to benefit the most from these opportunities? Those with access to capital, which is where the Real Estate Accelerator comes in. Brought to you by Good Egg Investments, the Real Estate Accelerator is an online course and mastermind that will give you everything you need to raise private capital for real estate syndications. Through building a killer brand that attracts the right investors, you'll be able to take advantage of the upcoming opportunities and scale your business. To learn more, check out cashflowninja.com/goodegg.
I have a question. When you launched this, if you had to look back now and the success, I mean, Keller Williams is probably one of the fastest growing real estate brokerages now in the United States. And you could probably speak for other other markets too. But if you have to look back in the companies that you were a part of launching and maybe the franchise in general, what are some of the things that you did well that you said this worked, this didn't necessarily work? What were some of the main drivers of the growth and success?
First and foremost, it's the ability to see something that doesn't exist and to inspire people to do the things they don't want to do to get what they really want. You know, I know when we first launched the Allentown Market Center, none of us knew what Keller Williams was. Nobody knew if it was going to really work. You know, and I remember when I asked Mike Campo, I said, you know, how big do you think this company might be? And he's there, well, you know, 150 agents, maybe. And I said, Mike, you don't understand. This is Allentown, Pennsylvania. We don't have companies with 150 agents. And he said, yeah, you also don't have companies, you know, named KW. And I said, well, true enough. But, you know, I think you have to have the vision for what's possible. And you have to paint a crystal clear vision. And you have to share that with people. And you have to understand why you're doing it. You know, we weren't in particularly trying to build the most profitable company. We were trying to build a company that everyone wanted to join and no one would ever want to leave. And I think when you do that, you have to involve a lot of people in the decision-making process, and you have to ask people what is important to them. You know, when you're trying to build a company that everybody wants to join, as a leader, you probably have a very limited perspective on what that has to be. You know, and when we involve other people in the decisions, we find the artists of the company, you know, the people that are actually doing the work and creating the revenue and making things happen. And you say, you know, what is it about this company that attracted you? And what do we have to do right now to attract people like you and create a situation where you would never want to leave us? which for us involved them meeting with them on a regular basis. Every month I would meet with the top producers in the company, and we would have a discussion as peers. And they would make decisions that were in the best interest of the company, which is right. kind of unusual, because human beings, do we make best decisions that are in our best interests or someone else's? In this case, I asked them to make a decision that was in the best interest of the company, because the only reason the company would be successful is if it attracted and held people like them.
Right.
You know, and that way, we didn't have this going on between leadership and artist. We had more of a synergistic approach to making something great that we all wanted to see happen. And that was what we did well. You know, I think we did that very, very well. I think another thing that we did very, very well at the very beginning, and this isn't necessarily me, this is certainly Mike Campo, probably more than me, because I was learning from Mike as much at that point as anyone else. But Mike was very, very open to creating opportunity for everyone. And after the fact, I learned that there's three kinds of people that have to be in partnership to create a magnificent entity. One is the entrepreneurial leader, right? The person who's willing to take the risk, spend the money, lose it all, do it again. Second is a managerial leader, and that's the person who likes to take something and make it great. They don't want to be the risk taker, but they want to be in the thick of things. They want to be like the Jack Welch. Let me, you know, give me something failing and I'll be really happy, you know, because I'll make it sing. And then you've got to have the artist, right? The person in the field, you know, who's a great example of an artist. Tiger Woods, you know, Tiger Woods is an entrepreneur. He's not a managerial leader. He's an artist, and he's in business with people that have created a brand and a business that's, well, huge, right?
Yeah.
And I think Mike, at the early stages of our business, recognized that and said, okay, we're going to involve myself as an entrepreneurial leader, you, Bob, as a managerial leader, and the artists, the agents, and all of us will have ownership. All of us will have a stake in the company, not only through what we do in profit sharing, which is standard for Keller Williams, but also in giving agents a opportunity to own the company part as well. You know, when you do that and everybody has an ownership stake in the business, then everyone has the vision, everyone has that passion to make it work. And that's another thing we did well. Now, the things we did poorly are the things that I remember most, keep foremost in my mind, because they're the ones you learn most from, right?
Yeah, right.
And I remember that at the early stages, we made some decisions about going into business with people that were not good decisions. You know, we probably knew better at the time. There were a few people that we went into business with that I know my spider sense was probably telling me, run away, run away. But we were new and we were fresh and we wanted to be great. We wanted to build fast. So we went into business with some people that we later found out were really not a good match for our culture. We paid a price for that. So I think the cultural mistakes we made were the biggest detriment to our success and the biggest lesson that we learned.
Because it's a different ballgame, right? The vision that you guys had and the culture that was created, entrepreneurial, being a part of something, growing it, instead of this, the person coming in, doing their piece, and they're off, you know, they go back home, right?
Yeah, so exactly. You know, it's the salesperson mentality and the instant gratification mentality versus the delayed gratification thinking of an investor or an entrepreneur. And I think, you know, when we go into business with people that don't understand that delayed gratification and the power behind it, it's our responsibility to adjust their belief systems so that they understand how powerful that'll be and what a difference it'll make to their families.
Yep, absolutely. And the peer group that you guys created too is something out of this world. So, you know, there's a culture there of accountability. There's a culture there of mastermind, a tribe of millionaires. And you were there right at the beginning. Previous guest on the show, Dave Osborne and Pat Hyben, has been on the show. Folks, I haven't listened to those two episodes. Check it out. Do it. CashflowNinja.com. But this, the GoBundance group that you were part of in creating and in the beginning, maybe you can speak to that, the importance of accountability and the importance of a tribe. Because I remember, for our listeners, a little bit of inside scoop here. The first time I met you, Bob, one of the first questions he asked me is, so who do you spend your time with?
It's true. Well, first of all, I'm so glad that Pat and David warmed the stage up for me. They truly are people that I admire at the very, very highest level. But I remember in 2012, MC, I have a lot of goals. I'm a goal setting machine. And one of my goals in 2012 was to surround myself with mentors in several key areas of my life. And I had a lot of goals that year. And come the beginning of 2013, I realized that I had not achieved that goal. And I got a call from Mike McCarthy, who's a good friend of mine, regional director for our companies here in Pennsylvania, since moved to Texas. Also a good friend of Pat and David's. And he said, listen, I've got a group of guys getting together in Colorado, and we're going to mastermind wealth creation and have some fun and do some skiing. And I said, well, who's going to be there? And he said, well, you know, Pat Hybe and David Osborne. Okay. It took me about that long to say, okay. Because those are exactly the kind of guys that I wanted to be around. Because as we all know, you know, we're the average of the five people we spend our time with. We grow into the conversations around us. And I said, okay. So I went out to Colorado, and I was on David Osborne's table. We were masterminding for a couple of days. And at the end of that, you know, he talked to me about GoBundance, and he said, you know, do you want to join? And there was a pretty high barrier of entry, you know, to get into this group. And I said, you know, I'm not quite there, David. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just below this threshold. And we talked to me about my investments and my strategies and what I've done in my life. And he's here, Bob, you're already there. You just don't know it yet. So I joined up, and that was in 2013. I was a founding member. That was the first year that we had something actually formal outside these guys' house, I believe. And I've been a member of GoBundance ever since. But, you know, I think that our mentors, our coaches and our tribes are absolutely vital to our future, you know, to our destiny. And I'm a huge believer in tribes, particularly in tribes that don't want to look good. You know, there's a lot of people out there who want to look good. And I remember I got a chance to hear from one of the largest builders in the world. I can't remember his name. He's a Mexican guy. And he builds like 300 houses a day around the world. And he was on stage, and the last thing they talked to him, I don't know where the conversation went, but one of his replies was, you know, I don't want to look good. I want to be good. And yeah. I said, wow, okay. There's a big difference between the two. As soon as you try to look good, then you can't be authentic. You can't be transparent. You can't allow other people to help you. As soon as you evolve into moving from wanting to look good to be good, then you open yourself up to becoming a much better version of yourself. And I think that was what I saw in GoBundance and any tribe of that caliber, was just being around people that were transparent and authentic enough to share exactly what was going on in our lives, not only in our business, but in our relationships and in our health and so many other areas of life, and do so in a way that we could share really what we're really good at and learn from the things that other people are really good at. So I find that to be a huge reason why my net worth has times 10 since that point, since 2013. And it's just around being around the people that have the biggest impact on you.
Chemiplan is one of the leaders for personalized tax-deferred and tax-free IRA planning. Chemiplan's team can assist you to take control of your retirement funds and financial future through self-directed investing. They offer support to clients throughout the entire process, from opening your first account to making your first purchase to self-managing your assets. Chemiplan works with a growing network of investment providers in all asset categories and offer free investor education through classes, events, and webinars with over 15 years of leadership and self-directed retirement investing. Chemiplan will help you unlock a convenient and safe way to manage your retirement investments and discover financial freedom beyond traditional investments, beyond Wall Street, and go from forever taxed to never taxed. Start to take control over your retirement funds and financial future today by visiting cashflowninja.com/Chemiplan.
Absolutely. And you have a great passion for teaching, and as part of the Tony Robbins group too, and sharing and so forth. When have you always been passionate, because you're a phenomenal teacher and sharing financial mastery and a lot of the other different things. Have you always been passionate? And when did you take that to the next level and for example, join Tony and started doing some of the Tony coaching?
Yeah. You know, I think I've always liked training. I've always liked sharing things with people, helping people become better. I did it in the military. I did it in Saudi Arabia. And I did it in after I got back. My relationship with Anthony Robbins started back in 2009. Honestly, you know, we had maybe six companies in 2009, and they were killing it. I mean, they were really going gangbusters, right? And I thought it was me. it wasn't me. It was the market, you know. And all of a sudden, the market shifts and goes into a tailspin. And I really did realize that I wasn't the person I needed to be to deliver on the promises I made to so many people, you know. And I said, you know, I've got to become the person that can do this effectively. And I became extremely passionate about any kind of personal development I could find. And you name it, I probably went to it twice. I was spending $20,000 a year at least on personal development, maybe more, right?
Yeah.
But the one that I felt was without question the most impactful was Anthony Robbins stuff. And I did all of his events. And one of the things I really loved doing was a program called Wealth Mastery. And I came back from that event on the plane, flying back home, saying, there's no way I'm not going to share what I just learned with the people I serve, you know, because, and this isn't true for only real estate agents, but the bottom line is there's a lot of professionals and high earning individuals that make a lot of money, but don't have a lot. You know, they've mastered making it, but they haven't mastered growing it. So I said, you know, that's what that program was about, is taking the resources that you have and creating financial independence. So I started to teach that to small groups of people. And we have about 1,800 agents. So we have a good captive audience within our own companies. So I started to teach it within our companies to agents and started to realize that people that were doing this program, most of the challenges were not mechanical. You know, the mechanics of wealth creation aren't that complicated. But it's what's in our heads that really stands in the way, right? It's the limiting beliefs and the patterns that we run every day as human beings. And those things that get in the way of really becoming financially free. So I started to realize that by focusing not only on the mechanics, but on the mindset and how to think, I'd have people come back to me again and again saying, wow, you know, you've changed my life. You know, my entire financial situation is different. 18 months after your program, everything is different. And it's just because I've changed my habits that are changing my outcome one day at a time. So that kind of got me fired up. And I started to work a little closer with Tony. So for the last couple of years, I've been an international trainer with Tony. I travel around the world and facilitate his programs everywhere from Florida to Fiji. And I love doing it. My wife, Usha Patel, who's been my soulmate, life partner, and wife for 32 years, is also a trainer with Tony, so we travel together. And I think just being in environments like that and committing to becoming your best version every single day is a very fulfilling thing.
Yeah,
I think all of us want to create wealth. I think to a certain extent, if nothing else, for certainty and for security, to know we'll be okay. We all want to have some kind of variety in our lives, and we want to be significant. We want to make a difference, and we want to have a, you know, love and connection in our lives. But there's a lot of people that have those four things that are miserable and aren't fulfilled. You know, it takes a little evolution sometimes personally to realize that we don't become fulfilled as human beings until we grow, and we continue to grow and grow and grow and grow, and we contribute beyond ourselves. You know, and I think when people look at this environment outside the glass, the COVID-19 environment, right?
Yep.
A lot of people are pretty distressed and sometimes depressed about the environment. And I think the main reason for that is they're focused on certainty and variety and love and connection and significance. But what they're not focused on is growing and contributing. And I think if they did a little bit more of that, they'll find that they become fulfilled even in very difficult environments.
Absolutely. A lot of great stuff there. One of the things that you just mentioned that is so powerful too is, and we see it constantly too, folks that make a lot of money, they have that skill very much figured out, but it's the keeping and then the growing, which, and when you said it, it's the mindset. And once you change your mindset a little bit, it's quite incredible how things then change in their life and the habit starts to change, but it's one little thing, because sometimes we look at it and say, well, these are two very complete, completely different skill sets. And yes, they may be, but the you brought it nicely together there, where if you really just change a little bit of your mindset, you can figure this out. Because folks that are doing really, really well already with the making of it in business and so forth, they know that there's a blueprint, they know their systems, you know, all the tactical stuff they know. It's just the mindset of switching over and bringing a similar sort of approach to the keeping and the growing of the money that is kind of missing, right?
You know, I think a lot of people get confused about what mindset is.
Yeah.
They say, what mindset? Do I just smile? Okay, now I got a good mindset? No, I think when we talk about mindset, I talk about the ability to control your state, to control your emotional state and live in a certain emotional state all the time on command. And people say, well, I'm not in a good mood. And I love it when I hear that, because what they're saying is, I've chosen to be in a mood that doesn't serve me, and I'm staying here for a while. there's a science behind it. I mean, if you know how to control your physiology, your focus, and your language, you control your mood or your state. When you control your state, that's mindset, in my opinion. And it's a science. You know, we can master the ability to control our state. And that's a big part of the battle. And like I said before, the other part is belief systems, which is different. You know, we all have different beliefs that we hold and we carry with us that impact us in a positive or negative way. And we commonly walk on fire in the events that we do. And, I sometimes have 300 people and I put 300 people across burning hot coals in a span of 40 minutes, and not a single person hurts themselves. And when you think about that, you think about this mentally and you say, wait a minute, why would I ever walk on hot coals? I will burn myself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to burn myself. And even if you say you won't, you walk up to them and you put your hands out and it's really hot. You go, I'm not doing that because I'm going to hurt myself. And then a couple hours later, after we work on them to train their mind to do this properly, they walk across these burning hot coals, right? And they get to the other side and something clicks in their head, right? And we say to ourselves, wow, I just walked across burning hot coals, something I knew my whole life was impossible and that I would burn myself, charred bloody stumps, and I'm fine.
Yep.
You know, and then the second thought comes into our head saying, oh my God, what else in my life, if I would just try, I could do? What else have I been afraid of my whole life that if I would just try, I would do it. I would do it successfully, and I would be in such a better place in my life. And that's I think applies very much to the creation of wealth. You know, you've got to be able to step outside the limiting beliefs and control your state in order to take control of the mechanics to allow it to happen. Right, and anybody could do it.
Investors, don't sleep on this market and trends. Did you know that in many cities across the U.S., renters now outnumber owners, and demand will only increase? More and more will be renting in droves, and it's putting the squeeze on a tight rental market. Four Peaks Capital Partners has been successfully investing in this proven, recession-resistant sector for years, providing investors with passive income and capital appreciation. Protect your portfolio and invest in private real estate funds, because the demand for affordable housing will only increase. Invest with Four Peaks and let us do all the work. Find out more by calling 877-5-INCOME. That's 877-5-INCOME. Or visit privateincomeinvesting.com. That's privateincomeinvesting.com.
That segments perfectly into my next question of the opportunities that there are right now. Because to your point, where the most folks are looking at outside saying, oh my goodness, the world's coming to an end. And I've seen enough 2020 memes to last a lifetime. But then there's a different set of folks right now that I'm looking around what some folks are doing just in my network, from losing 50 pounds to raising, you know, X amount of dollars to starting two or three different business. This all happened in the same year when most folks are hiding, you know, under the table, basically.
Well, yeah, you know, I think that crisis and opportunity are very closely related, you know, and we also live in a cyclic world, you know, particularly economically. You know, our economy works in a very mechanical way. I'm a big student of Ray Dalio. big world's biggest hedge fund manager and probably one of the nicest guys you'll ever talk to. But Ray says there are three things that are pretty predictable: a productivity growth curve, which means the more we learn, the more we produce, and that pretty much goes up all the time. Then we have a long-term debt cycle that it goes up over a long period, back down and back up. It happens about once every 100 years. And we have a short-term debt cycle that lasts about every 10 years. And in 2008, we had a crash. 10 years later, 2018, you start thinking, we're going to have some kind of correction. So people that study the economy were probably expecting some kind of correction in 2018. And we were kind of surprised when it wasn't there in 2018, 2019, 2020. And then all of a sudden, COVID hit. And that was not the trigger that we expected. But in essence, it led to a similar outcome in terms of economic challenges and deleveraging. So, you know, there are a lot of folks who have lived through this before, who've lived through 2008. And they say, wow, one thing I did learn is that in 2011, everything was free. Right? Everything was undervalued. I mean, if you wanted to buy an investment property or just about any kind of investment in 2011, if you had cash, you did super well, because by 2015, all those assets were much, much more valuable. That's how people become wealthy. So the people that you're mentioning today that are excited are the same people that learned the first time, that probably said, this is going to happen again. I'm going to cash up. I'm going to have the resources that I need. And when the time comes, I'm going to be prepared to take advantage of those low priced assets, which is what we're seeing now. Yeah, I think it was, history allows us to understand the future. And that's something that serves us all. Study history. We have a little bit of a crystal ball, and we don't have the exact timing, but we got a good idea what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, it's as it Mark Twain that said, it doesn't necessarily repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, again, you know, your mindset has a lot to do with this. I wake up every morning and I say four words: this is my time. This is my time, right?
Yep.
And I remind myself that I am not a victim. This environment's not happening to me. It's happening for me. And I think everyone started to think about that and ask themselves a question: does life happen to me, or does life happen for me? If they can reframe that everything in life happens for them, they'll be very, very excited every single day, regardless of what happens in their lives. Because when you think everything happens for you, you tend to reframe the meaning of everything that happens to you.
Yeah.
Now, if you get hit by a car and say, wow, I'm lucky I got hit by this one, because I would have got killed if I had gotten the next curb. And maybe that's a little oversimplistic, but I think it's true.
No, it absolutely is. And one of our core messages in the show, because we talk about money, we talk about wealth creation, but one of the core, really foundational things in our show is to leave our families, communities, and the world better than we found it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations, not just money. So, Bobby, if you cannot pass on any money to future generations, and we're only allowed to pass on three principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
Well, I think the first thing that I would do is come up with a purpose for being here. Come up with a purpose for being on the planet, because a lot of folks go through their life without a purpose and without clarity on why they're here. My purpose is to create a positive and lasting change in the lives of people. So when I wake up in the morning, my questions all revolve around how I do that. You know, how can I create a positive and lasting change in the lives of people? The reason I'm on the show today is your show aligns with that purpose. So it gives me a platform to share what I can to maybe change people's perspective. With respect to wealth building, I would say this. It's an easy process. You have to know where you're going. You have to create a crystal clear vision of what your life is going to be, because that's the magnetic pull. You have to know where you are. And sometimes that's a lot less comfortable, because sometimes we're in a financial position we don't like, but we have to get real. We have to get right. So we have to know where we're going. We have to know where we are. And we have to understand the obstacles in the way, what's between us, where we are and where we're going. Fortunately, every human being that's ever created wealth has pretty much ran into the same obstacles. So we just study history, study people who've achieved this before, and we understand what not to do. And then we create a path, right? We have to have a path through those obstacles. So if you understand where you're going, you know, understand where you are, you know what the obstacles are, and you find a path, creating wealth is an exciting journey. But I tell people, what you focus on expands. You know, the more books you read about wealth creation, the more seminars, podcasts, webinars, live events that you go to about wealth building, the more wealthy you will become, period. You've got to invest in yourself. I'll leave you with this. Warren Buffett, back in 2009, they asked Warren in an interview, they said, Warren, what's the best investment right now, you know, in this horrible economy? And he said, the best investment today is the best investment every day, and that's to invest in yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Bob, and just sharing your journey and your knowledge and providing so much value for my listeners. Is there a place that folks can follow you or reach out or contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. They can contact me at bobwells@kw.com. Bob Wells, B-O-B-W-E-L-L-S at kw.com. Got a great website for people who want to listen. I have a podcast called KPG or Get Real, The Get Real Show. It's on kpgrocks.com, kpgrocks.com. And both of those spots would be a good place to connect.
Awesome. Thank you so much again. Appreciate you.
Thank you, MC. Pleasure's all mine.
Thank you so much for joining us in another episode of Cashflow Ninja. I really appreciate you spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. Please check out all of our past episodes with phenomenal guests such as Bob at cashflowninja.com. That's cashflowninja.com. As always, my friends, appreciate you, and I can't wait for our next episode and spending some more time together. As always, live life infinitely. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.